Welcome to Fueled by Grace. My name is Mark Shiver, and this is episode number six. Number six since we have relaunched, and I tell you, the response to episode number five was just overwhelming, and I appreciate all of you who have gone on Facebook and liked certain things that we've posted, and those of you who listened to episode number five at iTunes and directly from our website, fueledbygrace.com. Thank you so much, and I believe the word is beginning to spread about the website, about what God is saying through these podcasts. And so thank you very much. Be sure to listen and share with your friends and family so that they might be encouraged in the love of God. As you know, I always restate the mission, the reason that we're doing these podcasts. It's because we are compelled to share that God loves you. He loves you eternally, unconditionally, without end, without reservation. He loves you completely, fully, and totally. And so God has given us this mission, this purpose, to spread the good news of the gospel that he loves you. And he gave his son Jesus to die for you. And that's pretty awesome. So we're going to dive right in. And I believe God's given me a really cool thing to share with you today, some interesting scriptures. And we're going to bounce away from Philippians, where we've been spending a lot of our time, and we're going to look at Isaiah today. And this is really exciting because God has given me something I think that will encourage you, and I'm hopeful that it will. Now, in Isaiah chapter 44, a familiar verse, I'm sure, verse 19, God says, well, verse 18, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, certainly God was speaking to Israel. Isaiah was prophesying to the people of Israel. And there are some people who say that we can't take these verses from the Old Testament and ascribe them to life in 2018. We can't use these verses today because we would be taking them out of context. But I believe that the Word of God is living. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that the Word of God is alive and active, like a double-edged sword. And so I believe that we can read here in 2018 that God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. And we have to think, well, what is the new thing that God did? And maybe how does that apply to us today? Well, he gave his son Jesus to die for the sins of the world. Ultimately, all of the prophecy, all of the things that were spoken about in the Old Testament point towards God's plan of redemption for the world. Now, obviously, if you're saying, well, Mark, God told this king that that king would attack him and, you know, lay waste, maybe certainly specific incidents, you could make the argument are not pointing towards that. But in total, the Old Testament is a roadmap that lays out the plan of God. And here in Isaiah 44, Isaiah told the people, God spoke to the people through Isaiah and said, I'm doing a new thing. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, Jesus said, if we come to him, we'll not thirst. Out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. Water is a significant thing in the Bible because Jesus is our living water. He is the one who refreshes us and gives us great joy and pleasure. And we see that God is doing a new thing. And I believe that today in 2018, the new thing that God is doing is restoring the truth of the gospel to the world. We see all over the globe a restoration of the simplicity of the gospel, of the purity of the gospel, where the added things that so often accompany life in the church are being stripped away. And as Paul says, it's just the plain and simple devotion to Christ, knowing him. Paul says, I count everything else worthless to know him. And I believe God is restoring to the church and to people outside the church a hunger to know him. In fact, I believe recently God, in prayer, I believe he spoke to me and said, people are returning to me. And I believe that. And God is doing a new thing in 2018. He is restoring the simplicity of the gospel. And what is the gospel? You know, the word gospel means good news. And what is that good news? Well, we see that a little further down in Isaiah chapter 44, here's verse 25 that says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Oh my goodness, that's awesome. Even in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10 talks about how God has forgiven us of our sins and he's not counting our sins against us anymore. Verse 17, Hebrews 10, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Jesus is the sacrifice. He's it. And if we believe that there's something that needs to be added to what God did through his son, then that's incorrect. And we're taking God's ultimate perfect sacrifice and actually bringing it to a place of being belittled or demeaned. Folks, God had a plan. And all the way through the Old Testament, he was pointing towards the fact that he was going to give his son, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, to die for our sins, past, present, and future sins. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. So, what's the new thing? What is springing up? And yet many don't perceive it. It's that you're forgiven. You are forgiven. It's awesome. We are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And we're not going to go through the whole textual layout in this particular podcast of how all of this fits together. But in this message, I want you to know that you are forgiven. You are forgiven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, starting with verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Here it is. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Some translations say, not counting their sins against them anymore. Folks, sin is something that has been dealt with. And yet, it is the very thing that is often used to keep believers bound and guilt-ridden and unable to flourish. In Isaiah 33, there's a whole really cool set of verses here. And one thing about Isaiah, he'll bounce around on you and start talking about several different things, and you have to follow along, and it's not easy sometimes. But in chapter 33, most scholars, those who have commented, believe that Assyria is involved here, and God is talking about taking them down. The verse that really, really stands out to me, though, says, your riggings hang loose, verse 23. The mast is not held secure. The sail is not spread. It goes on to say, then an abundance of spoils will be divided, and even the lame will carry off plunder. God was saying to, many believe it was Assyria, that they were going to be plundered. In fact, there's a story with one of the kings, I believe it was Hezekiah, where the lame actually did go, and they saw where God had taken the enemies of Israel and scared them away. And there was great plunder, and even the lame, they actually got to go in and plunder before everybody else. But what is the meaning of your riggings hang loose, your cords hang loose, it says in another translation. If you look at a sailboat, a sailing vessel, you know, you've got the big tall mast right in the middle and this big sail. And typically, you know, you can look at it in your mind, it's kind of like an angle, like a triangle, with the long line on the top coming down and then the bottom connecting to the mast as well. Well, you have to have riggings, tackle, ropes, cords to hoist that sail up and to get it to the place where it will find the wind, and the wind will fill that sail, and you can move the ship, move the sailboat, steer it with the rudder. And if the cords are broken, if they're frayed, if they're hanging down because they can't be used anymore, then the sailboat is worthless. It will just sit in the water and go nowhere. It will be tossed about, carried around by every whim of the wind and the tides. And I believe that God is speaking to some of you who are listening to this podcast, that because of your focus and your preoccupation with sin, with trying to get yourself right before God, that the very thing, the new thing that God is doing, you're missing out on because your cord is broken. You don't have that lifeline to Him that is founded upon the reality that the new covenant says that I will not count your lawless deeds against you anymore. There's life in being connected to the truth, which is the gospel, the good news that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world to Himself and not counting their sins against them anymore. And so if you don't believe that, if all you can focus on is, man, I've got to get my life together, I've got to stop doing this, I've got to quit looking at that, I've got to quit thinking this, I've got to start doing that, and on, we just fight and wrestle with our flesh, well, that's got to stop. If you want your life to be full, if you want the sail of your life's boat to catch the wind and be able to be maneuvered through peaceful waters, and more importantly, through rough waters, you must be connected. Your cord must be strong. Your lifeline must be strong. And that cord is the reality of the gospel, that you are forgiven. God is not counting your sins against you anymore. Jesus paid the price for all of our sins, all of your sins, all of my sins. And He sat down at the right hand of the Father. He was on the cross, and He said, "It is finished. It is finished." The big veil that was in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. The old way of doing things was gone. When a pastor sees the truth of the gospel and rejoices in the fact that God is not counting our sins against us anymore, he can share the good news with his congregation, and there's an explosion of awesomeness, of great joy, of great peace, of great love, and the truth sets people free, free to grow in Christ, free to see the love of God and respond to it and love Him. Oh my goodness. Your cords are torn. They're hanging down because you don't have an understanding that you are forgiven. And I am here today to tell you that you are forgiven. God is not counting your sins against you. Your life can be a metaphor, or an analogy can be a sailing vessel. And when you hit rough waters, you need to be able to guide and steer that boat. If you want the boat of your life to be sailing mightily and have that ship sail filled and billowing and the wind carrying it along, and you're able to maneuver and respond to what God is saying to you to do and just be full of life, you can't have a broken cord. Your cords cannot be frayed and ripped. There has to be a strong understanding that God loves you, and He has forgiven you, and He is not focused on your sin. Do you know that? God is focused on you, the new creation He has made, and the relationship that He wants to have with you. Go back and listen to episode 5 again to understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's treasured masterpiece. He created you, and He loves you, and He wants to spend time with you. So we, including myself, need to constantly be understanding that we are forgiven.
Well, Mark, are you saying that people can sin and just not worry about it? I'm not saying that at all.
You've never heard me say that. What you're hearing me say is that as we get our eyes off of our failures and our inadequacies and the things that we do in our flesh,
and fix our eyes on Jesus and the truth, the lifeline that says we are forgiven, we will be changed. We can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and begin to be strengthened in our most holy faith. God is strengthening his people. He is turning his people back to him through an understanding of the gospel, the good news that he is not counting your sin against you, your sins and lawless deeds. He is remembering no more, because that is what he accomplished when his son Jesus died for you and rose again on the third day. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and his blood pleases his Father, and it is finished, and sin has been dealt with, and you are a new creation, and you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. But we must begin to hold on to that reality that we are forgiven. And as we do, our sail, the things that God wants us to do, will be filled with the wind of God, and we can sail through life, through rough waters, through still waters. We can have the kind of full life that God wants us to have. But it starts with knowing that he loves you very, very much.